Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You watch us out on YouTube, Facebook, the interwebs. If you listen to us on AM 1570, we're appreciative. 25th anniversary documentary is coming out in a couple of weeks. My pal Leonard Raskin is going to be in it. He doesn't know it yet, but you know, I tried to put cameos with everybody that I know because it is a little lengthier because I have kind of an interesting story to tell. And some good friends have been involved in this. I just want to give some love to Gina Schock and Keith Brewer and John Allen and Mickey Coachella and Ray Bachman and Mike Brilhart for swooping in and contributing. We're going to be kicking off the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in an anniversary month for us here at Costas on the 9th. That's Tuesday. We're going to be talking about the tragedy at the Key Bridge. Maryland Lottery sending me out with 10 times the cash. We'll have some Pac-Man giveaways probably by Friday when we get to Fadley's on the 12th. We are live at Fadley's from 2 until 5. Luke Jones will be live like Brent Musburger each and every Friday. And Leonard Raskin, I don't know if I'm going to have already opened the bottle of The Prisoner, and my wife is chasing the solar eclipse this week, and I'm sort of home alone, and I don't know if I'm getting my press credential back or not, but I'm not opening this bottle of The Prisoner until I get my press credential back, because like I have learned that The Prison was not Peter Angelos or John Angelos, withstanding my media credential. It's just more sort of the indignity of being a real media member and having legitimate people tell me that, not Chad Steele, legitimate people tell me that I'm not a media member. So I have the bottle. I just want you to know, because you know about the bottle. You know, the prisoner has been released. But for my heart and my spirit, seeing Cal Ripken on opening day, and we have not been together, you know, since all of this madness happened on opening day. We were anticipating the bridge fell. We did a whole thing on the bridge, you and I, last week. It was raw. It's still raw. I'll be down at Costas. How are you? It's tax season. You have any crazy clients? Probably not, because you keep people like me in line.
But you know, we got some last minute folks, not including or including yours truly.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I mean, I am the guy who was on the phone.
No, I'm talking to me. I'm a habitual extension filer. I have no concern. The rules, let's be sure everybody's clear on the rules. The rules are, by April 15th, you file your return, you pay your taxes. Or by April the 15th, you have the right to file an extension and pay your taxes.
Okay,
there is no getting out of the pay the taxes part. Okay. Filing the extension, a lot of people don't get this. Filing
Take the medicine is what you're telling
does,
people.
No, I'm saying filing the extension does not let you off the hook to extend the due date when the taxes are due. You still have to pay by April 15th. You just don't have to give them all the reporting by April the 15th. You're allowed to say, I'm not ready yet to show you all I got, but I'm ready to write you the big ugly check or the small ugly check or whatever the check is. And I got a query this week. It's really funny. I think you'll appreciate this, from a media member in the business press who asked me what people should do with their refund, with their tax refund. And I gave her an interesting response.
Can I answer it and say, you should find a guy like me to tell you that refunds are bad and pay me so you don't get refunds and you keep the money on your side of the table. Is that a good
Amen,
answer?
Amen, brother. Amen. Right
Did
there.
Did I give you the right answer?
100%.
Oh, my God. That's
she didn't like that answer.
You know
she
what? Didn't... We didn't even trade. We had no pregame
nothing,
on that.
Nothing.
Literally,
no,
right?
she didn't like that answer. She wanted me to say, you should invest it. You should save it. You should go on vacation, whatever. I said exactly that. I said, fools get refunds. The bottom line. Well, if you had something extraordinary happen that caused you to get a refund, okay, that's fine. That's out of the ordinary. That's okay. But you should not plan to get a refund. People use their tax refund like a savings plan. And you gave the government an interest-free loan for a year. And they gave you back your money, and you think you got something. You didn't get anything. You got your money back. So I answered that way, and she didn't like that answer. So she wanted to get somebody else's opinion. I said, go right ahead. But
I liked my Seinfeld video from last week, which I thought was one of the all times, where phone rings and it's the telemarketer, and he says, give me your home phone number.
Right,
and
I'll call you.
I'm not giving you my number. He said, well, you got mine, you know, like.
Right.
This is don't
Right.
call me. Goodbye. You know,
That's it.
so there's a little bit of
Those are
that.
back in, that was back in the day before caller ID and the do not call registry and everything else, man.
Dude, on a political level, I know you don't want to hear this. I got Joe Biden's people, Trump's people. They text me, give money. I can't believe
Everybody
it.
wants, look here, I get texts. I find it stunning. I the only people, and you may know this, your audience, our audience may know this. The only people that are exempted from the do not call list are politicians.
Insane.
They can do whatever they want and they bug the hell out of you. Like you said, I get emails, I get texts on my phone. They want money, they want me to answer
I just want them to come
questionnaires.
on the show and answer questions honestly, where
There you
their
go.
communication specialists don't ask me for the questions ahead of time because it's
That's right.
offensive to me every time.
That's right. That's
Every
a
time it's
horrible.
offensive to me. That's
A
all.
horrible thing. You know, it's one thing if you're going to do a podcast and you want the questions ahead of time so you're ready for the show. But even then, if you're on your game, answer the questions. Come on.
Or just tell
No.
me you'll get me the answers later, man.
Right.
Do
I'm
you'll
not
email them
100%
over? It's
sure I'll
fine.
get you
Yeah.
that answer.
I'm
That
not that I don't have trick questions. I
there
just
ain't
have
no
questions.
gotcha. There's no
Yeah,
gotcha
I've
here.
never been that guy in all these years.
That's
So,
right. That's
Leonard,
right.
I want to talk some sports with you 'cause like
Yeah,
I haven't
let's do
we
it.
bridged and we taxed and I meandered into this. I stepped into the gum with your tax
There you go.
situation there, but
There
it's
you go.
important for people to know stuff and then laugh a little bit.
Let's talk
Where are
sports.
you on the baseball side? Like give me your
I'm wearing my O's right here,
I
baby. Got
see
my
this.
black
I
and
see it.
orange. It's in season. It is time to get out to the yard. Although I must say, I am a non-April baseball goer. Unless it's a sunny Sunday that pops up out of nowhere. I don't like sitting out in the cold. I don't like sitting out in the rain for baseball.
I
This
don't
is
do rain
crazy.
delays when it's 85. I'm
Yeah,
not going to do
well,
it when it's
right. But this
55,
is,
right?
you know, I'll go to the Ravens in 20 degrees, raining, snowing. I'm ready, but I'm dressed for it. It's football. But baseball is a spring, summer. I want beautiful day, sitting by the park, sitting at the park, sipping a lemonade. With my hot dog and my nachos, and I'm a happy guy. So I'm not out there yet, but I am paying attention. I am watching. Spent Easter holiday in Charlotte with the wife's family, and watched the games on my Masson feed on my iPad.
Okay, so it's working
So
for you. Well, you're good. My
absolutely,
wife has been
it's
watching the
good.
games in the kitchen on the iPad, about a minute
Yeah.
behind,
Yep. I'm
in our
watching the
main
Masson
TV. It's a
feed.
minute ahead. It's a little weird,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm watching and then home watching them on the TV. And
We watched
I
Caitlin
think
Clark the
this,
other night in the
there
middle of
you
the Oriole
go.
game
Iowa
on right,
LSU,
yeah.
big shooter, 41 points, has made the women's game a big deal for the Final Four. How about having NC State and UConn, men and women, in the Final Four? A stunner. A stunner.
Yeah, and the NC State thing's interesting to me because we never really hated them
Yeah.
the way we hated Duke. And I mean,
No, they were
we
not a
hated Grant
rival.
Hill even in the booth the other night. People were giving him a
Right,
hard time, you
right.
know? Leave Grant Hill alone. He's a
Did
nice
you
man.
know? Do you know him? Have you met him? Do you know his story?
I know his father. I knew his father when
Yeah,
his father
right.
was an executive with
See,
the
I did not
Orioles in
know
the
that
early
story that
90s.
his father was that guy. I had no
Oh,
idea.
I knew his father was. You didn't know his father was a running back with the Cowboys?
No, I did know that. I knew his father's, but I didn't know he was an Orioles owner, whatever, front office guy who then went to San Diego with Larry Lucchino, who just passed.
Correct.
I did not know that he was that involved. And I don't know why I didn't know Grant Hill was a Baltimore guy. I did not know that. And now he's part of the ownership group. Talk about a life well lived, right? I mean, he's now part of that ownership group with Cal
Well, they're telling a story, aren't they? I mean, they really are, right?
they are listening to him in the booth. It was funny when he talked about how he got involved with the ownership group. Did you hear
Give me
that
it,
little
because I
thing?
did.
Yeah,
I did
he
not have the
said,
sound up at that point.
okay, so he said he knew Rubenstein. How did he know him? Through his mother, who worked for the Carlyle Group, which is an investment firm, and Rubenstein was involved with that, and he knew him. And he said to him back when he knew him, when you're ready to buy the Orioles, call me. I'm I'm in. And he said he called him in November and said, I'm ready. Are you in? He said, I'm in. And so he became part of the ownership group.
They're having fun with this, right?
No,
I mean,
it
I saw Eric Getty
so.
And buying
it
beer and all that.
So.
And,
yeah.
And Rubenstein. I mean,
and
that
what's
is.
His name? Bloomberg?
Yeah, Bloomberg's involved too.
Bloomberg,
I mean, that's why I
given...
feel like it's a civic play, Leonard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why sitting with these people, it's not going to be talking about whether they're re-signing Cedric Mullins or where the money's going for Gunnar Henderson. At the big picture level, what people are going to hear me talk about here, and
yep.
Luke and I are going to talk about the pitching rotation and all that.
Sure,
we're a different
sure.
level of conversation here about what the real plan is, because in order to afford Gunnar Henderson and afford Corbin Burnes or Grayson Rodriguez or Jackson, pick any player you want.
Rutschman.
If they're going to have $150 to $180 million pay, a legitimate,
yeah,
not top five payroll, but a
it's going to be big.
6 through 12 payroll
Yeah,
to
nobody's going to be
compete
the
here.
Dodgers these days.
Right. I mean, I don't think they can be that, but I need to know that they're what their business. What their model is, how they see this, and certainly from the revenue standpoint of $15 beers. I mean, look, this time of year they could give the tickets away for $5. We're not going down there because the weather stinks, right? So
That's
now,
right.
how are you getting 40,000 people down there? How are you engaging younger people? And
I
then,
think this summer is going to be tell. This summer
well,
is going to be a big tell because they've got a good team. I dare say a great team. These guys can hit the ball. It appears the pitchers can pitch. We got two pitchers that aren't even here yet.
But
this
how do
could
they
be
grow their business?
well, that's the thing. This summer, I think, is a big tell. They gotta get butts in seats, and they gotta, like you said, they gotta be a civic minded thing. And David has said, you know, he said, look, the goal is to bring a World Series here, make this a first class organization, mind the ship. And be out there doing things. Look, they're going out. This was opening day. They went out to, I don't know what it was. Was it Pickles or whatever pub over there? Bought a round for everybody. You know, they bought everybody in the bar a drink on the owners. I don't remember Peter doing that, but I might have missed that day at school. But if they get out
Peter
into the
thought of himself
community,
in that way, and you know what I mean? Peter
and he
wanted to be
was,
that guy.
I think, look. Here's an assignment for you. Not you, maybe somebody else. And I know you wrote stuff, but somebody's got to write the book on Peter Angelos, right? Somebody's got to close that chapter and write that book, because who knows what the real Peter Angelos was, right? You got lawyers that worked for him. You got baseball people that worked for him. You got, apparently, from his lawyer, who would, of course, put the best face forward, and his friends, the man gave, other than charitable, I mean, help people left and right in his lifetime, but then was disliked by a lot of people as well. So really a dichotomy of the man. And these guys look like they want to go out there and make it happen. And they're going to find a way to bring people to this park. And that's what they got to do. They got to reach out to Howard County and Baltimore County and Montgomery County, you know, people that don't want the Nationals. And they got to reach out and say, the Orioles are your team, and we want you here to bring home the World Series. And then they got to show up, like you said, and pay a couple players and prove that these guys are going to be here for a while, that it's not a flash in the pan, 1 or 2 years, and we are the Montreal Expos of the past.
So
We
I want
groom
to do
them
a
and
little
we get
math
rid of
with
them.
you. I want to do a little math with you because you
Yeah,
mentioned Peter.
sure.
And by the way, you know, the Peter thing, I had Tom Lavero on this week talking about Peter Angelos for real. I had Janet Marie Smith on talking about stadium and the Key Bridge falling and
Yep,
architecture.
yep.
And she was very fond of Peter. And I said to
Yeah.
her, I know you're fond of Peter. So she went on about Sarasota and building stadium and how much he
Right.
cared. Fair enough. He did not save the franchise for the city. Let's say,
No,
you
we
know who
know.
did?
Look.
Larry Lucchino and Edward Grant
Right.
Williams did.
Right.
So,
That's right.
but I want to do math for you. Okay. You ready
Yeah,
for
let's
this?
do it.
So
Got it.
I did write a book on Peter Angelos. It's called The Peter
Yeah.
Principles. You can go read
Yep.
it. In it, in chapter one, and this was verified by, I'm a journalist. I'm not,
Right.
you know, I mean, I wrote the, it has nothing to do. It's a third person story about Peter Angelos, right? As
Yeah.
a term
Yeah.
paper. When he went into the courtroom in Lower Manhattan in August of 1993 to buy the team, He had $29 million in cash, okay, that he brought to the table. So I want you to do put that in your calculator, okay?
Yeah, do
so
it.
put $29 million in to buy a team that was $173 million. It came with $45 million in cash because it was in receivership. So that 173 sale price is fake. It was really 138 million, right? Or 140, whatever the number is, 38
Well,
million.
because he bought cash, you're saying.
The cash couldn't be touched. All the
Right.
money, all the operating income from 92, 93, All-Star Game, sold out suites, 3.6 million people, all the marketing around Camden Yards, all of that was a $20 million a year profit for 2 years. In 92 and 93.
Yep,
That's a lot of money then, right? Obviously it was $45 million in cash. So take that off the 173. He used Bill DeWitt and Bob Castellini's line of credit to get them into the deal and Lucchino. He got everybody's money into his deal, but he never brought any more money. He brought $29 million. He bid the thing through the roof without having the money. As they walked out of the courtroom, he elbowed Joe Foss and said, "You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out," to his banker, okay? So he walks in with $29 million in cash.
Yep.
All the other money was buying properties and this and that, the asbestos, couple hundred million dollars. He used $29 million of that money. He then sacrificed about $75 million out of pocket to finance Jeff Conine, David Segee, Albert Bell, that whole era where he was spending a whole lot more than was coming in. So he really did do that before I did Feed the Birds. So I want you to do the math on this. He got one, his kids and wife got $1.7 billion dollars. So I started thinking about the difference between 29 million and 1.7, because it's funny money.
And
math.
How long
it's
did he
math.
Own him? How long did he own him?
32 years, 31
All right.
years, 31 years. So here's what I did on this.
Yeah.
And this is my Dundalk math. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
This is the way I did it. I can even pull my calculator up. I can pull my
Go
calculator
ahead.
Up. I did 52 weeks in a year. Times 32 years, because it wasn't 30. It would have it's only 31 years, about 31
okay,
years.
Okay, go ahead.
But 1,650, give or take, weeks that he owned the team. 1,650 weeks he owned the team. And he made almost $1.7 billion.
Sure.
As I do the math on that, think about this.
He
made $1 million a week. $1 million a week. Every week he owned the baseball team.
Okay.
In addition to the hundreds of millions of dollars that they siphoned in their own way out of the profit every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Forbes reported they made $90 million on the date. They pocketed $90 million last year. That's because of the payroll being $40 million. I mean, they got $140 from the national deal. So, but they're pocketing hundreds of millions of dollars as it went on. No, we'll never know how much money they took out of Masson and out of, we'll just never know. 30 years of profit.
Right.
They took profit.
Right.
Most, not in the aughts, because they didn't, but once Masson came, they got all that money back, right? And the tax man would know about that, and the IRS would know about that. And
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, yeah.
He made $1 million a week.
Okay,
every week.
So let me give you some
and
math.
Wrecked it. And wrecked it, and it's burning for the new people. The new people pick it up, and it's a shell of what it could be from a season ticket standpoint, from a media standpoint, from an advertising standpoint, from a fan community standpoint, from a click standpoint, from every measurable standpoint. He's left it burning, other than the team's good, but the payroll isn't. And he made $1 million a week, Leonard Raskin. It's a deal of a lifetime. And his wife was mortified, thinking, "Oh my God, you took every nickel we've ever made and you bought a baseball team." You know, like,
so
it's
let me
crazy
give you
how much money
let me
he
give
made.
you some facts
And
and
that you were
data.
trying to make him a sympathetic figure 5 minutes ago, by the
No,
way. But go ahead.
Look, I'm all about capitalism, baby. So money is money, okay? I'm gonna give you some math on the other side. Let's say he had $29 million, which is what you're saying he put down on the team, right?
Right.
And we don't know the other variables. We can fill in some blanks and figure out maybe. But let's say he put in $29 million
into Disney,
into any company in America, and held that stock for 31 years, sold that stock for $1.7 billion. You with me?
Yes.
without accounting for any cash flow along the way that was either cost or revenue. So we're neutralizing all the profitability.
He owned a rock. He just owned a rock.
Right, for 31 years. The annual average percentage return on investment is 14%. 14%. Now, for the average investor, that's phenomenal. But if you're a business owner, a 14% return is pretty nominal on your investment. Okay, you got to do better than that to own a business. So the equation then is, how much money did he take out per year?
Tons.
Well, you know, if we look back at the records, I'm not crying for the man's profitability. What I'm saying is,
what you should have done back in 92 is put together a consortium that came up with that kind of money to pull this off.
He did. Know? He did. And he put up $29 million and he borrowed the rest. So there's some interest cost, but he had revenue. So that offsets the cost. So when you figure out the net.
Well, that's how he bought Cal Ripken and Almar and Palmeiro, you know, like all his players. Because So I go back to the original sin, Leonard Raskin. They can't afford these players at this particular operation where there's sold out on opening day. People want $9 tickets the rest of the way because that's the fan base, because they don't have rich fans. We're not a rich market. We're not New York. We don't have bankers and investors. We don't have Reston, Virginia anymore and Washington, D.C. money and Northrop Grumman money. Like, where is that money coming from? It's coming from the common man here. They got a lot of work to do.
They do, and they got to figure out how to sell this fan base on how great this team is and why it is a, and here's the key, right, better experience to see it at Oriole Park than to see it on your couch on Masson.
Who makes the magic happen of Oriole baseball, Leonard Raskin? You make the magic of Oriole baseball happen, right?
That's right, and I heard something the other day, which I think is just, you know, who cares? You know, who cares thing. They were touting that Peter Angelos never sold the naming rights to the stadium. Okay, great. Could have just been more money. I'm betting we're going to have a name on this stadium soon.
And you need that to afford
you're darn
to
right.
keep Cal Ripken.
You're
you have
darn
to have
right.
that in the modern era.
That's
period.
Exactly right. So M&T.
Well, that's where I come into this and say it's great M&T they have new ownership, but the accountability
gonna,
of a smart guy like
something.
Me that's watched this,
they're
that they should
do
be
something.
Sitting and telling me what their strategy is, because I want to sell it to you to tell you, Leonard, let's go buy in. The money, the $1,800 that the Ravens, well, actually $3,400 the Ravens don't take from me anymore because Chad Steele if I give that to the Orioles, what do I get for that? And
that's right.
And Luke keeps saying to me, how often are you going to go when you have your press credential? I said, well, you know what? I would have been down there on Easter Sunday because Luke was celebrating. He's the deacon of this church.
Yeah.
He's a man of God.
Yeah.
He, you know, like, so Easter Sunday, we didn't have anybody in the seat there, which is a fundamental issue for me as a guy who owns a media company that, like, I should be in that seat. But on a general basis, if they gave me my press pass back, and I have this bottle of The Prisoner. Have I shown you this before?
Yeah, there you
go.
Yeah,
bottle of The Prisoner. I'm not releasing it until, you know, I get my press pass back. Because
I imagine some conversations could happen. In that
I hope that I do, but I hope that I do for this reason, Leonard. I want to give them money. I want to be a part of the Orange Club. I want to understand the Orange Club. I want to feel like a part. Who makes the magic? You make the magic. I've been here forever waiting for this
That's
time.
Right.
But then there really are hard questions for them that only people like me are going to be able to ask. Because I see what's left of the media and who would ask questions about the $600 million it has got. I mean, you know, really benefited from the new lease, John Angelos, right? Like, he sold this thing for $1.7 billion to Rubenstein. Rubenstein's getting a $600 million rebate from the state on his house.
It ain't a
house,
bad gig. Not a
house,
bad gig.
Right? We've talked about the value of that.
That's
right?
a good get, $1.7 billion, and you get $600 million up front.
Well,
back,
right.
Back
exactly.
From the
you get a rebate.
Then.
So
yeah,
and
that's
who capitalized on that? Peter Angelos did, and his estate did. Not him, but obviously not
him.
Yeah, but his
estate. The new buyer. They got what they wanted, and everybody's happy except the taxpayers. Please,
everybody's
once
happy.
More.
The team's good now. I still see TJ Brighton and Lucas Torres running around there on opening day. Like, it's the same people. I don't have a press credential because they hate me. I have no idea why, but nonetheless,
well, it's time to figure that game
they
out.
They need me and everyone like me. And I'm not being arrogant about that. I just being realistic. You said they need to engage the fan base.
Yep.
Agreed. They need more than just their fan base. That's my point.
Absolutely.
The fans they have right now, and I mean this from my soul of soul, the people who are Oriole fans, who are engaged, they're not enough of us. And we're rich enough to be able to, like,
there's a new generation. They got to grab.
But I ain't giving them $14 for a beer 14 times a year. You know what I mean?
Right.
I love them, and I want to love you more. But
they got to grab my son. They got to get him.
They got to right. Any other text, this or that, or baseball? You want to talk a veteran? You want to talk hockey? You good?
We're good. Hockey, I just saw a quote, kind of interesting. I don't know where I saw it. It said, if the Capitals make the playoffs, they'll be the worst playoff team in history. I don't know that that's true, but it's a certainly worthwhile ending.
Is that like
on
being 7-9 in the NFC South and winning the division? Is that
it's like? I think it's like being last in your class at med school, and when you're done, they call you doctor.
Still,
they call you doctor.
Leonard Raskin handles money and the American dream. He's at Raskin Globe. He's also at the front of Baltimore Positive. We'll talk some football before the month's over, but it has been a nice little respite. And I'm doing this 25th anniversary documentary.
Fun to
back
talk
to the,
baseball.
Today. It's good to have this again. It's good.
That's right.
And
good
I
to talk
really,
baseball.
Really hope, not just for my sake and my curiosity and my audience, I hope these are good people. I hope that I sit with David Rubenstein at some point and Cal Ripken and Grant Hill and talk to them about my city and their investment and our baseball team and the future of our city and our region and downtown and how the baseball team can be
a part
of
it. They can make it happen.
Because
they got a great
I've
group.
Dreamed of this. I told Rubenstein's guy, I said, I've been waiting for you for 20 years. I'm not looking to offend you, but I'm not looking to kiss your ass to have access. You know what I mean?
It
doesn't benefit anybody.
It's time.
And I think these are good people and they want to be perceived as such, but I have good questions for them. They're not trick questions. They're like, man, you spent $1.7 billion. You're serious MFers. Tell me about the vision for how we lift this thing beyond a gambling parlor.
And we don't need it to be only on the broadcast during the game from people that you employ. Technically, right? They're employing those people.
I love you a long time.
I saw opening day, and the interview with David on opening day was outstanding. The guy talks baseball. He knows baseball. He was a City College kid, and he loved 33rd Street. He talked some amazing stats that you could chat with him about baseball. He and Jim Palmer were going at it, and Ben McDonald. It was a great conversation.
I felt bad that I missed it. My wife taped the game. I still haven't watched it.
Yeah, you got to hear that.
What happened was I'm walking around the stadium. My phone went off to my wife. And my wife's like, he's talking about how much he loves Luis Aparicio. And I'm like,
it was his favorite player. Favorite player, baby. So there you go. That was a great interview. I mean, that's something to listen to. And then send him an email with that tape and say, here I am. Let's talk.
I'm doing this documentary. I've done the work I've done. I would love to meet David Rubenstein.
You will.
I'd love to have his company. Will. I'd love to talk baseball with him. But I would be about being serious about wanting to
help them do whatever
they're going to do
lift
the city. Because I don't think this is about a billionaire just trying to be famous and buy beer
for
people.
It's
not
for him.
And get a statue.
Doesn't sound like it.
I mean, Peter wanted a statue built. I mean, he really did. Right. I mean, Peter wanted to be a hero. I don't think this guy wants to be a hero. I think this guy wants to get ish done, really.
Yeah, I think he does, and I think it'll be a great, great future meeting.
All right, man. Leonard Raskin is here. He's Raskin Global. I got the shirt on. You can find him out at RaskinGlobal.com. He does the American dream. Make sure that you don't get refunds, that you're getting your money when you're supposed to be getting it. Find him out at BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.